basketball hoop and Nerf ball. So while he was still in his Panthers and onesie, he was dunking the ball as an infant. As he grew older, he continued to play basketball, and as soon as he was old enough to join a team, he began playing for real on a court with a standard-sized ball and a standard-sized hoop. He loved basketball so much that he played on several teams, and during the school year and the summers, his entire life was consumed with basketball. And somewhere around the time that he turned 12 or 13, a curious saying crept into his lexicon. Teamwork makes the dream work. I suppose it was something that his coaches drilled into him and his teammates during practice, and that he brought it into his everyday life. He loved the saying so much that he began using it even when it was not appropriate for the occasion. His mother would tell him to go clean his room, and he would jump up, clap his hands, and say, "Teamwork makes the dream work," and run into his room. We would all sit back. What does that have to do with anything? And he would bring his report card home from school, and no matter what the grades were on the inside of the card, he would hand it over to his mother and proudly say, "Teamwork makes the dream work, Mom." What does teamwork have to do with you giving your mom this report card? We didn't understand it, and one day I asked him if he would go to the store and pick up a gallon of milk. What do you think he said? He slapped me on my backside like he was just coming out of a huddle. He said, "You got it, Auntie. Teamwork makes the dream work." We're not playing a game, Richard. This isn't necessarily a team. But as I was reading this scripture this week and thinking about this sermon, I came to the conclusion that my nephew was correct. Although he announced this saying at the most strange times, he was onto something. Because I have come to the conclusion that as a preteen and teenager, he surmised that everything that he did for himself or his family was an act of teamwork. Cleaning his room, getting good grades, running errands were all a part of his duty as a member of Team Howard. And as all of you team sport fans know, no matter how great the individual athlete, an entire team, each doing his or her own role, is required in order for the team to win games and championships. Indeed, my nephew was right. All along, teamwork makes the dream work. In our scripture for this morning, we see God applying the same eternal truth into the life of his embattled prophet, Elijah. Last week, we saw Elijah at his lowest point. The same Elijah who stopped the rain for 3.5 years. Who was provided food by a raven and then by a poor widow during the famine. The same one who successfully battled 450 prophets of Baal, calling down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice and the altar altogether, had finally reached his limit. Elijah had lost his inner fire. He had finally succumbed to the strain of running as a fugitive from the murderous threats of Jezebel and the pressure of playing a team sport all alone. I am sure that Elijah hoped that after God rained down fire from heaven, that he would be able to recruit a lot of new players onto God's team. But that didn't happen. I suppose that after he slew the 450 prophets of Baal, he thought that all opposition to the Most High God would cease and the competition would be over. But no, there was overtime. The persecution continued and in fact escalated as Jezebel retaliated by seeking the lives of all do, seemingly all by ourselves. We feel the pressure of deadlines on our jobs, a never-ending list of tasks to conquer in our homes like Martha, and the work that we offer in service to God and community here in the church. It is like me attempting to juggle the three balls during children's time. I couldn't do it. At some point, we all reach the limits of what we are able to do on our own, and no matter how effective, efficient, or independent that we are, we must admit that we cannot do it all on our own. We need a team, because teamwork
is dream work.
In basketball, one of the most important skills for a player to have is the ability to rebound. Rebounds occur because of failure. Rebounds occur because someone on the team, perhaps you or I, missed a shot. Sometimes, no matter how hard we try, no matter how much we practice, and no matter how good we are at the game of basketball, we will miss the shot. We will forget to call someone who was counting on hearing from us. We will fail to complete the project by the deadline. We will totally lose it and lash out in anger at the ones we love the most. We will miss the shot. No one is going to shoot 100% from the field. And even Michael Jordan, arguably the best basketball player of all times, like the after service, even he, at the end of his career, only shot 497%, which means he missed more than half of the shots he took. He missed a whole lot of shots on and off the court, but guess what? He also averaged about 6 rebounds a game. Rebounds are a second chance to make a shot that we missed. One of the things that I learned when I was playing basketball in high school and in college was that when you take a shot, you have to follow your shot. My coach used to drill into us all the time. Even if you are sure, 100% sure, that that shot is going to be all net after you take the shot, follow it to the basket just in case you miss it so that you can get the rebound and take a second shot at it. You don't get to just run off the court when you miss the shot and bow and go to the bench and sit down. No! After you miss the shot, you stay in the game. You continue to try to make the shot. You continue to look to your teammates to see if perhaps one of them got your missed shot and help them get the ball back in the basket. But the problem for Elijah was that he had no team around him. He was attempting to challenge all those who opposed God all by himself. And it is here that God intervenes on his behalf and sends him a full lineup to support him in the work. The text tells us that at his lowest point, God does not allow Elijah to languish on the bench, but sends him back into the game, equipped with new energy after his rest, and the job of anointing Hazael, the king of Aram, Jehu as the king of Israel. 7,000 persons who did not bow down to Baal are now a part of his team, and he gave them Elisha to succeed him as a prophet. Not only did God give Elijah a huge team to fight with him alongside of him as a part of God's mission in the world, but God gave Elijah a succession plan. God gave him the assurance that he would not have to continue the work forever, but that he could train the one who would follow him. Isn't that good news? We don't have to do all the work alone, and we won't have to do it forever. There are Elishas among us right now We need to be called off the pew and into the fray. So often we get so caught up in the doing of the work and the sense that we are the only ones who know how to do it correctly that we fail to look around and notice all of those who can help teamwork make the dream work, who can come in off the bench and take over the game, who can come in and support us, who can rebound on our behalf, who can run a fast break alongside of us, who can be a part of this work that God has called us to in this world. Now I have a confession to make. I have always had a problem with the way our gospel text has been interpreted. Poor, misunderstood Martha. All she was trying to do was get the preparations completed so that as a family, she, Mary, and Lazarus could welcome their guests into their home. She alone was doing all of the work. We don't know where her brother Lazarus was, but if he was like my brother, he was somewhere watching television, waiting for his only chore of the day, which is to take out the garbage. And Martha was doing all of the work. All of the work that when you're inviting guests over had to be done. She was doing all of the work while Mary sat at Jesus' feet, gazing into his eyes and listening attentively as he talked. Now Jesus has said that Mary has chosen the better part, and far be it from me to argue with Jesus. But I wonder if Jesus was expecting to eat after he was done teaching. Because Jesus was both fully human and fully divine, if Jesus was fully human in that moment, and as a man in the first century was like my father in the 20th century, and used to the women doing all the work, Thanksgiving, the men all looking around the television, right, while all the women are in the kitchen cooking, in the dining room preparing the table, doing all Jesus. So often in the church and the world, a few people do ourselves, just a few of us. There are teammates and rookies all around us just waiting to be called on.